Within each of us is a seed so powerful, it will birth a transformation of who we are and how we behave. It's a gift as close as your own lips and heart. It's the place of true conviction that says with no reservations, I believe in the one who came down and was made man. Even when you've been through so much and it's hard to reach out and trust, you are created to believe. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, for faith is the sight that says God is who He says He is. When you believe, it pleases God. When you speak, God is moved to action. Abraham believed God and was set right with God. Moment by moment, he delivers strength for weakness, joy for sorrow, hope for the hopeless, eternal life for all who believe. So take God at His word. Believe it in your heart, in your struggles, in your victories, and see what He will do, how it will change your life forever.
Hey, kids, let's give God a praise clap this morning for how good He is, how awesome He is today. And this morning, we're continuing our series, Trusting God When It Doesn't Make Sense. We asked the question last week. We're going to ask it again today. Anybody got trust issues in the house today? And what we discovered last week is that we are just plagued and ridden with trust issues. We don't like to trust anybody because we get burned, we get hurt, we give somebody something that's sacred, something that's precious, and they kind of wad it up and it hurts us. And as a result of that, it causes us to be very distrusting, and it causes us to be very hurt and wounded. And we are understanding that the devil operates in the field and in the realm of lies, that he wants us to believe a lie, that we can trust nobody. But the reality is we can trust somebody, and his name is Jesus today. And this whole series is all about learning to put your trust back in the Lord, learning to put your trust back into the Lord, that you would learn to trust God and take Him at His word and believe in Him, that He can be trusted today, that you can trust God with your big prayer requests, with your life, with your family, and just as these moms and dads just did, that you can even trust God with your children. And that's what this series is all about, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. If you have your program, open it up this morning and you'll see your sermon notes in there, and pull that out this morning and follow along as we preach and teach this morning. But we're looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're starting in verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Last week we talked about Noah and how Noah had faith to build the ark even though there was no rain on the earth yet. This awesome section of scripture, Hebrews 11, is often called the Hall of Faith. It's all about these great men and women that had faith and trust in God. And now we're going to read about another couple. And I think this is very appropriate on Mother's Day to talk about Abraham, but also Sarah as well. It's very appropriate to talk about their faith on Mama's Day. So starting in verse 8, the Bible reads this: by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was barren, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered the one who had promised was faithful. And therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grain of sand on the seashore. These all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed they were foreigners and temporarily residents on the earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering that land they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, was offering up his unique son, about whom it had been said, "And Isaac, your seed, will be called." He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. Father, thank you for the word. Let it speak to our hearts, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is an amazing story about Abraham and Sarah, and we're going to dissect that story just here in a second. But basically, Abraham was an elderly man. Sarah was an elderly woman. God called them out of their land with their parents to leave that land and to go to a foreign land to start a nation. This was amazing in so many ways because this nation was going to be a great, great nation that we would know one day as the nation of Israel. This is an amazing story. Actually, if you got your notes, here's something to look at real quick about Abraham. Just some quick facts about Abraham. The full story is found in Genesis 12 through 15. So if you want to read the whole shebang, go read Genesis chapter 12 through 25, and you'll get the whole big picture of Abe and Sarah this morning. But here's the thing about Abe and Sarah. The main story about them is that God used two unlikely candidates to start the nation of Israel. I mean, these are elderly people. They are past the age of childbearing, and here they are called to another country, and God is going to miraculously give them children, and out of that great nation will one day come the Savior who will save everybody. And they had, but in order to receive this great blessing, they had to trust and they had to wait. Now, I don't know about you, but I am an impatient little feller. Anybody else today with me on that? One thing I don't like about trust is that trust inherently makes you be patient. And it makes you wait on something. I don't like that. Greg, I like to just knock it out of the ballpark right then and there. Anybody else in my ball camp today with that? Yeah, that's who I am. And you know what? Listen, it's just how I operate. I just want it done right now, not tomorrow. But some things you just have to wait for. You know, it's Mama's Day. You had to wait for that baby, didn't you? Had to grow and grow. And you look at the little ultrasound picture and it looks like a blob. And then you wait for it to look like a little alien baby that's in there, you know. And then you wait for the delivery, and delivery comes. And you got to wait for the doctors and nurses to get them over there and clean them up and get them to you. Then you kiss them, and they rush them back to the nursery. And then you wait for it to go home. Then you wait for them to go to school. Then you wait to kiss them on the bus ride home. On the bus ride to school. Then you wait till they graduate high school. Then you wait to send them to college. And then you wait for them to have a baby. And we're all depressed now, right? You know, waiting's not fun. It's just not fun. And the reality is waiting will just drive you nuts. It'll drive you crazy. And I think about waiting. You know, many of us today are in that phase of waiting right now. We're waiting for that promotion at work we've not been given yet. We've waited for that future spouse. We're praying that God will give us someone to marry that we have not received yet. We're waiting on that child to give their life to Christ. We're praying that that child receives Jesus as Savior or turns back to God. Some of you all are waiting for retirement. And some of you all are maybe waiting to have a baby today. I don't know. We find ourselves in the waiting phase often. Even as a church, we are in a waiting phase. A Life Community Church is a church plant, which means that we were started intentionally by our mama church. It is Mother's Day, right? By our mama church, Buck Creek Baptist, in McLean County. And we were started with the intentions of becoming an autonomous church. It started with the intentions of becoming a church that would function on our own. This is a traditional Southern Baptist way of doing things, that you are underneath mama for a little while and you develop and you grow and you wait to be birthed. And this is the phase that we're in right now, waiting for chartering. And, you know, and with that, some of you all are thinking, oh, man, I'm waiting for a building, or I'm waiting for us to have a worship space of our own. And my only word to you in Life Community is this, is be very patient with that. That's going to take a long time for that to come. But hey, listen, with that being said, aren't you glad what God has given us right here? Isn't that wonderful? It's going to take a while to get there. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to take a while for that to happen. But, you know, the great thing is we're learning about what it means to be a church without stained glass windows and a steeple. And it's pretty awesome learning about that. We're waiting, and we're constantly waiting for the next big thing or for this or for that. Here's the next point in your notes. As we trust God, we must understand that God operates, and I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't like this, because I don't like it either, okay? But God operates, and say it with me if you can, in His own time or His time. Now, we don't like that, do we? Because we like to pray and say, God, give this to me right now. But see, you don't understand what's happening. In order for God to move and work, He does things, miraculous things. See, not only is He preparing, think about this, when He intervenes and intercedes in something, He's preparing other people, He's preparing circumstances, and by the way, He's also preparing you. So, just kind of an FYI, understand this, isn't in your notes, but just write this down. A delay is not a denial. Did you catch that? A delay is not a denial. Just because God says not now doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Abraham and Sarah, they had to walk in the wilderness. They had to go through some crazy faith trials, and God had to teach them along the way. And as men and women of faith in this room today, we just have to understand that God is doing something, and as He's doing it, we have to wait on God. We have to wait on the Lord, and we have to trust in the Lord. Now, this shouldn't surprise us, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah that those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength and they'll mount up on wings like eagles. So God does something to you in the waiting process. God grows you and strengthens you and makes you into what He wants you to be in the waiting process. Understand, God is going to make you wait. If you are a person of prayer, you have to be a person that trusts God. And you also have to be okay with waiting today, because that's how the Lord operates. It's how He operates. It's how He does things. So while waiting, we will either obey in faithfulness while waiting or disobey in impatience. This is so true. You're in the waiting process. You're saying, God, when is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And He's just saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. And the temptation is to say, well, forget this. If I can't have this right now, forget about it. I'm going to turn my back on God. I'm going to reject God. I'm going to give up on God. I'm going to curse God. I'm going to quit believing Him because He's not answered what I've put before Him. He's not done what I've wanted Him to do when I wanted Him to do it. But that's not what God does. Part about the patience process, part about the preparation process is that the Holy Spirit is doing something in you while you wait on God. He's doing something in you. So when we look at the story of Abraham and Sarah from Hebrews 11, there's a few things I want you to see. What does obedience look like in times of waiting? What does it look like in times of waiting to be obedient? If you're going to follow God, even though you have to wait on certain things, what does it look like to be obedient while waiting? Real quick, we obey when we don't know the way. Obedience in God, trust in God, is that you will still follow God even if you don't know where you're going. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, check this part out, not knowing where he was going. God removed Sarah and Abraham from their land to go to another land that they didn't know anything about. And then God told them, hey, you're going to inherit all this land, but until that time comes, guess what? You're just going to wander around. You're going to live in tents. You're going to live over here for a little while. You're going to live over there. And you're just going to have to trust me. You're going to have to leave the comfort of your homeland and live in tents for a land that you don't have yet. Now, sign me up for that one, right? Sign me up to leave everything that's comfortable to go wander around with no clue what we're doing. That's exactly what God did with Abraham and Sarah. He promised to give them the land, and he also would promise to make them into a great nation, that they would become this great, great nation. Did you know that God is doing something with you? And as you present your request before God, as you wait for God to intervene, as you wait for God to do something on your behalf, as you're praying for him, or you're trying to grow close to God, the reality is you don't know sometimes which way to go. Sometimes you don't know what to do. I've had many people come down during the invitation time and say, "King, I just don't know what to do. I have this situation. I have this problem. I just don't know what to do." Well, take a lesson from Abraham. God called him. He didn't know where he was going, but he went anyway. We talk a lot around here about the five purposes that God has for your life. Ministry, to be helping people, to be telling people about Jesus, evangelism, to be discipled or to grow in your knowledge of the Lord, and to fellowship, be connected to each other as Christians, and then to worship God as a church. One thing I think that's really neat is that when you're in that waiting phase and it's not here yet, God is wanting you to still live out your purposes even if it's not here yet. He wants you to still be that Christian that's loving people and loving God and reading the Bible and telling people about Jesus and worshiping and celebrating. And I think there's something great when you are in this wondering stage and you're still able to praise God and say, "Lord, it's going to be okay. God, you are here, and I'm going to live out my purposes, even though I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the future. I don't know the way. But I'm not giving up. I'm going to live out my purposes." Y'all with me, Life Community? I'm still going to live out my purposes for what God has. You know, I wanted to tell you all a little bit, and I have a reason for this. I want to tell you all a little bit this morning about the story of Life Community Church. God had laid it on mine and Taryn's heart. Actually, it was mine first. Taryn had to take a little bit of prayer to get her to that point. But we knew that God was going to start Life Community Church before we knew the name of it and before we knew where it was. When we first got married, it was in my heart. It was in my heart, and we knew that we were going to start this church. We didn't know where it was going to be at. I think some of y'all have heard me say that before. God gave me kind of the plan to do it with, and he kind of gave me the style to do it with and the connections to do it with, but we didn't know where to do it. And it took us pastoring my first church and then pastoring another church in from Greene County to then Ohio County before God green-lighted this whole thing. We had to wait 6 years with that dream and that passion before we even knew where it was supposed to be. True story. What I'm trying to tell you is that as you dream and you pray, you got to be okay with waiting. But in that time of waiting, you can't give up. Live out your purposes. Live out what God's called you to do in that moment. Second, we obey when we don't know how. We don't know how it's going to work. We don't give up in God, but we still trust in God, even though we don't know how it's going to work. Listen to this, mamas. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Isn't that wonderful? God had told this couple they were going to be a great nation. And actually, when you read the rest of the story, when Sarah hears this and that God's going to let her have children, they're going to be this great nation. They're already in their 90s. You know what Sarah does to begin with? The very first thing, you know what she does? She laughs. And you know what? Before you're too hard on Sarah, you would too, you know? You would laugh, say, "I ain't going to have no kids at 90 years old. You know, you ain't going to do that." And that's what she said. And isn't it funny that when Isaac came, you know what Isaac means? Laughter is what it means. Isn't that kind of ironic? God told him to name the kid Laughter because I heard you laugh and you didn't believe me, you know? But it's funny, even though in that moment of doubting to begin with, she still trusted God. And Hebrews 11 does not record her doubt. It records her faith. Isn't that wonderful? It records her faith, and she had faith in God that she believed God was able to do this. Now, this is impossible. This is a miracle. In order for two elderly people at 90-some-odd years old to conceive and have a baby is impossible unless God is in it. And what we see from this story is that God did something amazing. Even though, and you know what's crazy? They had to wait to inherit the land. Then they had to wait to have the baby. And then it was Isaac was the promised child. And it was just waiting and waiting and waiting. and waiting. If I was Abraham, I probably would have said, Lord, can we speed it up a little bit? We're waiting for this land. Now you're making us wait for a baby. If the time keeps ticking, I'm not even going to be able to even understand who my child is because my brain's going to dissipate. I mean, help me here, Lord. But God, but they considered Sarah, this great mama, believed that God could do this. When we are in our impossible situations and we don't know how it's going to happen, we don't know how it's going to work, I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor can't make it happen. Your small group or your life group can't make it happen. Your politicians can't make it happen. Even though they tell you that they can make it happen, they can't. They can't make it happen. And you ready for this? Even in your own power, you can't make it happen. That's why you have to trust in God in times of waiting. To believe that God did great things. When we resigned from our previous church and God had opened the doors for us to plant Life Community Church, when that happened, God revealed to us through a series of circumstances and events that Owensboro, my hometown, was supposed to be where we were supposed to plant this great church at. And we had a house. We owned a house in Ohio County. And we loved our house. We did. And the market was not moving. Few years ago there was nothing selling at all in our neighborhood or anything. Nothing was selling. And I know God has a sense of humor because if this had not have happened this way, I would not have remembered it. Isn't that crazy how God does that? But when we resigned, we stuck a for sale sign right there in the front yard, just no realtor, just us, a for sale sign. And 1 month, 1 week, and 1 day later, see how God has it? God knows Kenny Rager's horrible with numbers, so he had to do that. He had to do that. 1 month, 1 week, 1 day later, we closed on our house. Impossible. The very first person to look at it bought it. And it was another pastor that recommended that person to us. Just God's providence and his hand was all over it. What I'm telling you is there's things you just can't do. And while you wait on God, you got to trust in God's power. For him to accomplish it, for him to do something. Third, we obey. We don't know when it'll happen. We obey when we don't know when. These all died in faith without having received the promise. Now you can read the rest there, but they said that they were looking for a home that was not their own. Here's what's crazy. When Abraham and Sarah died, when they died, they were promised to inherit this great nation, to be this great kingdom, so to speak. And when they died, they were still living in tents. They were still in tents. They had one son that was theirs. You know, the rest of the story was a little more complicated than that, but you know, there's one son that was the son of promise. And the question is, if you were to poll Abraham 1 day after he died, and you would say, did God mess up? Did God lie to you? Couldn't you understand Abraham saying, yeah, he did. He promised us to be this great nation. He promised us to be this fantastic nation. And here we are. We own a bunch of cow. We own a bunch of stuff, but we don't have any land of our own. Nothing. Nothing of our own, land-wise. And we died that way. We died that way. God's not faithful. One thing I think that's really crazy about trusting God is that when we lay these things out before the Lord, we have to understand that God's not a magic genie. Which means that we rub the lamp and the genie pops out and he asks us for our three wishes. You know, three guys were walking in the desert. They found a lamp. They all rubbed the lamp at the same time. A genie popped out and he said, oh my goodness, I only have three wishes. I guess I'll have to divide them up against the three of you guys. And the first guy said, well, I wish to be the richest man in the world. And poof, he disappeared and went directly into this beautiful mansion. And the other guy said, well, I wish to be the ruler of my own island. And poof, he went to this beautiful island, tropical. He had a crown and a scepter and all that stuff. And the third guy wasn't as smart. And he said, man, this is so tough. I really wish my two other buddies were here to help me in this decision, you know. And poof, there they were, you know. Reality is God doesn't work that way. God is not a magic genie. He does not do that. The reality is that he's working on us, he's creating something in us, he's working in us, and for a desired goal that he has. Abraham and Sarah, their goal was a heavenly goal. So for them, they had faith that God was going to do it. in their time, not in their time. In God's time, they longed for heaven. And to them, heaven was home. Heaven was what mattered, not what happened on earth. Now, here's what's crazy. God made them into a great nation. We call it the nation of Israel right now. But you know what? They never saw it while they were alive. Never saw it. So here's a question. What if God does not answer your prayer request while you're alive? But he waited till you died. Would you be okay with that? Can we be real? No. Because that's not how we operate. That's how God operates. That's how the Lord does things. Because it's about his goal, his accomplishment, the purposes that he has. He is sovereign. He is doing this. Therefore, what does God want of Abraham and Sarah? To have faith in him. To trust in the heavenly home. To trust that heaven is home. Not to get too comfortable down here. Talking about life community again. Don't you love mobile church? It's hard to get comfortable knowing that you won't be here forever. Isn't that great, you know? Hard to complain about the carpet when you don't own it. Isn't that great, you know? Hard to complain about that stuff. And it's tempting to think about the future of Life Community Church. It's tempting to think about what it's going to look like when we have a building, when we have this. And my response would be, man, maybe getting a secretary might be better before a building for me. That'd be a great thing, you know? But, you know, there's little bitty steps along the way that has to come in God's own time. And as we rise to the occasion, as we give financially of our tithes and offerings, as we give sacrificially of our servanthood and our volunteerism, God does that. He does great things. But here's the reality. God is telling us not to be daydreaming about some future building or land somewhere. He's telling us to win people to Jesus right now. Right now. Y'all with me, church? See, not everybody likes that, do they? Because we like brick and mortar and all that fun stuff. But I'm going to brag on somebody, something real quick. I'm going to do this publicly from the pulpit. In a lot of our churches, it is incredibly difficult to get, not Life Community, but in a lot of our churches, it's incredibly difficult to get men to do stuff. Any mamas want to amen on that one today? To get men to do stuff? You know what I love about mobile church? 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning. We got a room full of men serving God. A room full of men serving God. You need to think about that. These dudes are breaking their back for you to experience this right now. Isn't that awesome? I got to brag on them. I love them. Men serving, and I love that. So if we get a building, they'll quit serving. They won't know what to do. They'll go into a state of depression. Then we'll have to have all kinds of counseling sessions. It'd be horrible, you know? So we obey when we don't know when. Finally, we obey when we don't know why. And I think this is the hardest part. Look what happens. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. Did you know that story? They wait for the child. The child comes. The child grows older. And then God says, Abe, you're going to take Isaac, the promised son, up to the mountain, and you're going to kill him. But Lord, it's through Isaac that your seed will come. It's through Isaac that the great nation will come, that the one day promised Jesus would come. You want me to kill him? You want me to sacrifice him? And the scripture says that they go up to the mountain, and Abraham, Hebrews tells us this, that he believed God so much and his promises so much. He believed God so much that even if Isaac was to be sacrificed, God would have brought him back from the dead. That's how Abraham's faith was. Even if there's a knife in his throat, God would have still resurrected Isaac. Isn't that crazy? That's how much faith he had. But of course, God does not take pleasure in human sacrifice. That's not what he does. He pulls that knife back. God says, "Woo, stop, stop, don't do it, don't do it." Looks over and there's a ram caught in the bushes. Y'all remember the story? Good day for Isaac, bad day for the ram. You know what I mean? So they had to trade places. They traded places. God provided. Abraham's thinking, why in the world, God, are you got me in this situation? Why do you have me in this situation? This journey that we're on today will have ups and downs. The journey that you're on in your faith will have ups and downs. You're waiting on God. And can I just be honest with you? When you wait for God, sometimes it still looks bad. And when you wait for God, sometimes it goes from bad to worse. Can I just be honest with you? It goes from worse to even a little bit more worse. And you're sitting there thinking, God, why are you doing this? Why? What is your plan? And I wish I had some great theological point to give you or something just phenomenal to blow your mind that could just understand everything in the cosmos and everything and why God does what he does. But I don't. All I can tell you is that God has it. God has it. Little song we teach our children. He's got the whole world. Where, folks? In his hand. We just got to believe that. And he's got the whole world in his hands. I'm telling you not to give up on God when you wait. For there was a decision we had to make today. It's this. It's just believe that God has this. Believe he has it. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, praying for, going through, just believe God has it today. Believe God is able, that he can do this. You know, with Abraham and Isaac, Abraham had this great nation of Israel that came out of him as an elderly man, and Isaac was spared on the altar. A ram was taking its place. But do you know the final product of the nation of Israel, what God was accomplishing with them? It would become a great nation. And Isaac, even though he was the first child of promise, the first child of promise, the goal was not Isaac. The goal would happen after they multiplied and became a great nation and they moved down to Egypt and they got too big for Egypt and they finally, hundreds of years later, inherited the land that Abraham was promised. Hundreds of years later. And then they set up kings and then they went through ups and downs. And then one day after they lost the kingdom, a little boy was born that was the promised boy to a mama, but not at OMHS hospital. It was in Bethlehem. And that little boy was the promised child. And he grew to be a great man. He grew to be God in flesh. He was God in flesh. But when Jesus went to the altar to be sacrificed for our sins, there was no ram in the bushes for him. You know that, right? There was no way to say, stop the crucifixion, stop the bloodshed, because that was his goal. It was not Isaac's job. It was Jesus' job. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ suffered and died and bled as the promised one. The prophecies were fulfilled, that Christ would be king. And 3 days later, he rose again to show that he can save us. And today, if you've never put your trust into Jesus Christ, giving your life to him, you'll never be able to trust him with the things you deal with. You'll never be able to, because he has to have you first. And when you give your life to him, I'm telling you, it makes the waiting a little better. It makes the waiting a little better. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Our praise band will come to prepare this morning to lead us in a song of invitation. Whatever God is doing today, speaking into your heart, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And today God is calling you to surrender your heart to Jesus. Maybe you say, Kenny, I would like to trust in Jesus as my Savior today. Would you pray this prayer with me, believing that you're a sinner, admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and choosing to follow him? It's a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short. But come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. Maybe today as a Christian, still with heads bowed and eyes closed, you have something very big you're dealing with. And I want to encourage you just to come to this altar this morning. Just lay it down on the altar. Trust God with whatever you're dealing with. Just lay it down today. Lay it down. And leave it there. Leave it there. And trust that God has this today. So, Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good. Speak into our hearts today. We pray this in the name of Jesus.